Welcome to Triad Arts Up Close. I'm David Ford. It's a musical weekend on Triad Arts Up Close, beginning with a remarkable CD by an eclectic, dedicated group of award-winning singers, songwriters, and composers. They all came together for a worthy cause, Arts for Life, and their fundraising CD, My Life is Bold. Also, opera, bluegrass, Americana, jazz, plus an up-close and personal look at the music of one Johann Sebastian Bach. Who was this guy? What kind of music did he write? And what exactly made him so great? We'll enjoy our first of many musical moments with Peter Kiroff at the keyboard. He's got those questions covered and everything you ever wanted to know about the big man, but were afraid to ask. Next on Triad Arts Up Close.
I want to be a teacher of art, 'cause to me, that is the best part. Showing kids how to draw the world for the people with boys and girls.
There's a nonprofit organization in North Carolina that uses music, poetry, and art to empower children in their fight against cancer. It's called Arts for Life, and it creates pediatric clinic art programs for patients and their families. The organization is staffed by artists and educators who teach music, visual arts, and creative writing to children and teen patients who have serious and chronic illnesses. At AFL, instruction is given to patients 7 days a week at hospitals in Asheville, Charlotte, Durham, and Brenner Children's Hospital in Winston-Salem. Last year, AFL touched the lives of nearly 5,000 child patients.
To go outside and paint in the park.
But even though Arts for Life does great work, the organization is continually searching for funding sources to meet the cost of supplies, musical instruments, and the cost-free educational services they provide. Winston-Salem composer and educator William Stevens says it was a few years back at a 2009 AFL fundraising concert event when a unique new fundraising project idea had a humble beginning.
I knew a girl at my church who was one of the first children who benefited from this. And it was through seeing her artwork that I first learned about the program. Then a few years ago, there was a fundraiser in our neighborhood, and they asked my daughter Becca to sing. I suggested to Becca that, you know, she could sing her own songs, but she might want to also write something.
She took her dad's advice, and together the father-daughter duo performed Becca's original song, Trapped Orca in a Glass Aquarium. It's based on a poem by an 11-year-old Arts for Life child patient named Michael.
I am an orca feasting on seals and penguins in the Arctic.
And the response to that was so powerful, both from the audience and also from us, from the performer, that almost immediately we began talking about the possibility of expanding this in some way.
It went so well, and at the end of the evening, I went up to one of the ladies and I said, I have to do more. What else can I do? Tell me what I can do. Like, I was feeling like I wanted to start a New York branch or something, and she took me by the shoulders and she said, just keep writing music. She said, that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to write music.
Like with the doctors, I always stump and make them think. And there's the lightning striking the ground.
That's William's daughter, singer-songwriter Becca Stevens. The New York Times recently described Becca as a best-kept secret.
It was really my dad that kept the ball rolling on this idea. He was like sort of the steamroller of the family. I was the orchestrator of organizing all of the New York musicians and contacting Francois from Sunnyside and our New York publicist and stuff like that. Bill was in charge of recording everyone in New York and mixing the project, and it felt like it was meant to be. It felt like our family was meant to do this.
Their fundraising idea became a reality last year with the release of the Arts for Life fundraising CD, My Life is Bold. It's made up of 14 original songs, including Becca's orca song that inspired the project. Each song is based on the poetry of Arts for Life child patients, and the music was written pro bono by a group of talented songwriters and composers assembled by the Williams family.
I was very surprised at the response from very busy composers and very busy musicians, how willing they were to say, yes, count me in. Some of these people I didn't know, but neither Bill or I knew. People in New York, some studios in New York that gave us time. People just loved this concept. So that was pretty surprising. And so getting people to commit to it was easy.
Something about the project kind of inspired the musicians in the same way, without talking to each other. And I think a lot of the music does sound like it's related somehow. Even the tunes that are very different in genre somehow have the same sort of stuff.
I wish I was a bird so I could fly.
That's multi-instrumentalist, composer, and audio engineer Bill Stevens. In addition to contributing original music of his own, Bill headed the Arts for Life recording project, working with a remarkable group of musicians and studios from across the country. The My Life is Bold CD was 2 years in the making. During that time, a wide variety of great original music was recorded. The common thread was the poetry. Becca has performed her own songs and lyrics to crowds at Carnegie Hall. Her music has caught the ear of jazz pianist great Brad Meldow, and the two have performed together. But coming up with lyrics that match the power of her soaring melodies has often presented the singer-songwriter with substantial challenges. Becca says that problem was solved for her through the poetry of a young boy.
So to have that text already finished and to have it already giving me chills, like I was already getting goosebumps, I already believed in it, so I didn't have to struggle with that part of the songwriting process. Like, it was feeding me inspiration. And so then the process of crafting the music around it was liberating, and it filled me up. It was like a gift for me.
I am an aquarium trapped in a doctor's office.
Becca Stevens' song, Trapped Orca in an Aquarium, was written to a poem by then 11-year-old Michael.
It was a really moving experience for me to get inside of the child's mind through the poetry and then come to the organization. It moved me almost to tears to feel like I knew this little boy and then to come to the fundraiser and find out that he wasn't with us anymore. There's something lighthearted about saying, I am the ivy pole because I'm annoying. But then there's also something so dark to say that he thinks he's annoying. When I think about an 11-year-old saying that about their situation, it makes me feel very sad. And I hope that he wrote that to be 100% lighthearted and funny. But in my setting of that line, I allowed some of the dissonance of that statement and how it made me feel to paint the line as well.
Bill Stevens is a recording engineer for Ovation Sound in Winston-Salem. He says the inspiration felt by the musicians and engineers behind the Arts for Life project extended to the child poet patients as well, like 11-year-old Wesley McCormick during a special visit to the recording studio.
My name is Wesley Cordell McCormick, and I am 7 years old.
And he was so excited that, you know, this poem he had written was being realized in this way, you know, with professional musicians and knobs and faders and lights and, you know, shh, be quiet. You know, it was a really intense moment, and he was so happy, and he had this huge smile on his face.
makes kids feel better and get their minds off of the needles and stuff, the surgeries. It keeps their mind off of everything and lets them just, their imagination go wild, making new friends. I liked everything.
That's Wesley, Serious and Funny. The music was composed by Bill's father, William, to Wesley McCormick's poem. It features Williams' daughter-in-law, Laura Stevens, on flute, along with boy soprano, Bren Britt. The quality of the compositions found on My Life is Bold is astounding, and they, like the performances themselves, were given to the Arts for Life fundraising effort at no cost. One of the songs is by North Carolina composer Ken Frizzell. Ken's received commissions from such renowned performers as Yo-Yo Ma, Don Upshaw, Bill T. Jones, Paula Robeson, and the Chamber Music Society of Lincoln Center. This is Ken's Life is Happy, based on a poem by 12-year-old Lewis.
The ants are tired of working, and I am tired of chemo.
The thoughtful and highly expressive original compositions found on My Life is Bold were performed pro bono by a cast of equally amazing musicians, including Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Laurelyn Dossett, from whom we just heard singing Ken's song, Alan Hampton, who began our show with I Want to Be a Teacher of Art, and last year's Downbeat Magazine number one rising star female vocalist, Gretchen Parlato. That's I Want to Fly So Free, written and performed by Gretchen Parlato, based on the poem The Boom Bop Song by 10-year-old Eureka. Back in April, Gretchen performed that piece live in Carnegie Hall in New York. The song and several others on the program captured the imagination of executives at Sunnyside Records in New York. Sunnyside is currently working toward an early fall national release of My Life is Bold, with proceeds from its sale going to support Arts for Life. You'll find links to Arts for Life, where you can pick up My Life is Bold, on our website, wfdd.org/triadarts.
I'm a believer. I'm a survivor. And I've got the power to do. Just what I wanna do, I can be just what I wanna be, and I can make my own destiny, and I'm gonna fight, I'll get things right, and I'll keep my goals.
From the My Life is Bold CD, that's Do Whatever by multi-instrumentalist, composer, recording engineer Bill Stevens. We heard Lacey Green singing. You're listening to Triad Arts Up Close. I'm David Ford. Warm summer breezes, open skies, breathtaking sunsets, star-filled nights, and glorious music ringing in the air. Sound good? It is at Greensboro's Music for a Sunday Evening in the Park, MUSEP. You can book it right now, virtually every Sunday evening from June through the end of August. You'll find some of the area's finest musicians performing in a gorgeous public park, a different park each week. The best part, it's free. This year, you'll hear everything from blues and R&B to classical, country, Latin, Motown, and more. You'll find links to the complete MUSEP performance calendar on our website, wfdd.org/triadarts. In the meantime, City Arts Music Director Jennifer Hance is here for a sneak peek at Music for a Sunday Evening in the Park 2012.
Wally is fantastic, and that whole group is just wonderful. It is full of very, very talented musicians, and we're really glad to have them on our series again this summer.
And from there, we jump to the Friendly Center. How does that work? Where are they going to be playing?
We will be outside. We'll set our stage up between down towards the Barnes & Noble's end. We'll set up a stage, and we'll have a big area for dancing and for people to come and sit. And the ground is flat, so all the dancers are really going to enjoy being able to have the big band out there.
That's right. You're picking up the jazz baton from Wally West and his little big band with the Greensboro Big Band. And swing, big band, jazz, take me back, and then some.
Yes. They are a great group. They run the gamut on the stuff that they play. They play stuff from the 20s up through stuff, you know, in the 70s and 80s. They have a really big gamut of what they're doing.
And you all have worked with them for years, right?
Yes, they are actually one of the sponsored groups here at the Music Center.
So that concert's going to be on June 10th at 6 o'clock, and the location, the Friendly Center. This is also a fundraising event.
Yes, this one we're going to be doing a food drive in conjunction with Friendly Center, and it's entitled Feed More, Feast Not Famine Food Drive. So people can bring their non-perishable items and drop them off at that concert. And we're actually going to continue that food drive through the August 12th concert. So people are welcome to bring non-perishable items and drop them off at the concert, and they'll be donated to the Second Harvest Food Bank.
I never thought this morning when the radio came on that today.
Coming up a week later, June 17th, and great, I love the regularity of these concerts. You can just book it and put it in your calendar right now.
Yeah.
Just every week, June 17th, Sweet Dream, something about being in the outdoors at a great park and R&B.
Yes. Lindley Park is a beautiful park. I absolutely love that facility. And Sweet Dreams has been on our series for years, and we're really excited to have them back.
And Knights of Soul, I've heard, is an outstanding group as well. I'm not familiar with them. Tell me about Knights of Soul.
Knights of Soul is another great group. They're your typical blues, R&B, jazz, soul group. They have a little bit of everything, and it's really going to get everyone out of their seats and dancing.
Okay, and that's Lindley Park, Starmount Drive at West Market Street and Wendover Avenue. That's the other advantage of this series, Jennifer. You really get a chance to familiarize yourself with parks you may just otherwise just drive by on a daily basis.
Exactly. We go all over the city. We really want people to see all the beautiful parks that we have here in our city, and we're really fortunate for what we have. And so we really try to get people out into places they might not have necessarily seen before and discover some of those hidden gems.
I'm a long way from home, and the moon's hanging high.
My thanks to City Arts Music Director Jennifer Hantz. Music for a Sunday Evening in the Park 2012 began with a bang on June 3rd with Martha and the Mood Swingers and Wally West at the historic Blandwood Mansion. And it'll continue every Sunday through the end of August at nearly a dozen of Greensboro's most pristine parks. You'll find links to the complete performance calendar on our website, wfdd.org/triadarts. I'm David Ford. This is Triad Arts Up Close. And coming up, are you someone who appreciates all the arts does for your community, has a dime to spare, but just can't find an artistic cause to support that fits you like a glove? Well, you've come to the right place. We'll bring you the power to give next when Triad Arts Up Close continues. Welcome back to Triad Arts Up Close. I'm David Ford. Earlier this month, the Arts Council of Winston-Salem and Forsyth County partnered with PowerToGive.org to offer a creative new form of online giving for its member organizations. The PowerToGive.org model was originally developed by the Arts and Science Council of Charlotte-Mecklenburg. It allows individuals to easily give a gift to the organizations and projects that are nearest and dearest to their hearts. Like online fundraisers like Kickstarter and Donor's Choice, Power to Give makes posting projects, promoting them to different audiences, and giving itself more convenient for all involved. That sounded like a winning combination to Arts Council of Winston-Salem and Forsyth County Chief Operating Officer Richard Emmett. He stopped by WFDD along with United Arts Council of Greater Greensboro President and CEO Tom Fillion, North Carolina Shakespeare Festival and Festival Stage of Winston-Salem Executive Director Will Elder, and Piedmont Craftsman's Jane Dabb.
And it allows the organizations in the arts and cultural sector to tap into some social media and online giving that we haven't been able to tap into before. And the North Carolina Arts Council helps subsidize other cities in the state to take this model with the help of Charlotte and bring it to regions like the Triad.
So basically, you get a project, and what happens next?
And so we're working with the arts groups in our community, and Tom and his group are working with groups in Guilford County. And so these organizations are putting up projects that they wouldn't traditionally get funded through other means. And so they're looking for help to get these non-traditional projects funded and try to make them fun and try to make the connection between how people can – their money actually helps with a specific funding aspect of the organization.
That was interesting for me. And Tom, maybe you could expound on that a little bit. I mean, it's one thing to give in broad strokes, another to – as universities have found throughout the years. If you were a former musician, maybe you want to give to the construction of a new music school or maybe just a practice room or something within that.
You know, even specific projects. In our case, over in Greensboro, Carolina Theater has decided that they want to take their signboard out front, that old wonderful thing with thousands of light bulbs on it, and want to go green. They want to change the mechanism and put green light bulbs in there that last longer and all that stuff. So, I mean, they're literally raising money through this program, Online Power to Give, one bulb at a time. That's the kind of thing that resonates with a lot of people because it's compelling. They get it. Otherwise, they'd have to take that money and spend it and take it out of their general operating fund.
Down the road, where do you see this going?
Well, one of the great things is our Arts Council only gives out grant funding for innovative projects and other things one time a year. The Power to Give platform will be year-round. So organizations that are in need of funds for Christmas programming or want to do something special around, you know, another time of year will be able to put their project up any time of year to try to get funding. And also what has really been helpful to us is a partnership with Wells Fargo for matching money. So any dollar given online is going to be matched by Wells Fargo up to, in our case, $30,000 here in the Winston-Salem community. And I know Wells Fargo was supportive in Guilford County as well. So every dollar that an individual gives to the project is going to be matched. So organizations have even greater incentive to put some projects online thanks to that great gift.
Thankfully, here we get a chance to look down the road a little bit and see where this could possibly lead in the Winston-Salem area, Forsyth County area. You all kicked off in May and on the 21st.
Yeah, just a couple weeks
this.
Ago, right.
How are things going?
What's
going on
great.
The ground?
We've already used up our Wells Fargo match. We've raised about $21,000 on the site. We've got out of two dozen projects that were initially listed, four of them are completely funded. A number of others are getting very close. But what's really great, I mean, thinking about the future is, you know, if we can raise $50,000 or $100,000 a year for projects through Power to Give over in Greensboro, you know, that's in addition to the regular grant making that we do, and it complements what we're all doing. The agencies over there in Greensboro have gotten extremely into this, very excited about it, and they see it as an opportunity to connect with new donors and develop relationships on a level that they haven't been able to before.
Well, and the Arts Council is also excited about that because generally, you know, we get money from individual donors, but we don't reach a lot of people in the community. So we're hoping that this is another way for us to connect with people in the community that are willing to give, you know, and I think the average gift online for a Power to Give is about $50.
That's right.
People that are willing to give $20. $40, $50 to a project, but haven't traditionally connected with the Arts Council. But this might be a way to do it. So we're excited not only about the organizations connecting with new donors, but the Arts Council as well.
I love the, just as with Kickstarter, the specificity involved in this sort of giving. Could you talk about that with regard to theater and specifically Festival Stage, how this program, Power to Give, is going to be the catalyst for more giving?
Well, at Festival Stage of Winston-Salem, this attracts a different kind of donor. A lot of donors, you have your traditional donor that gives to your annual fund that just goes into general operations that really is your bread and butter, that just makes your organization run. But there are people that doesn't attract. This attracts the individual that wants to know exactly where their dollar's going. And with our project right now, it's Save Our Stranded Actors. We're bringing professional actors in from all over the country, whether it's Florida, New York, Philadelphia, and there is a real cost to that. And so there are a lot of donors that will say, well, man, I love that last show. I'd love to help with that. I'm going to bring in an actor from Broadway. I'm going to help pay for that. Now I'll shoot $50 or $500 or $5,000 over to that organization. It's quick. It's instant. It's online. It's a great way to give.
This program seems like it's a tailor-made fit for what you all are doing at Piedmont Craftsman as well.
I think so. At Piedmont Craftsman, we're trying to figure out how to take the general fine arts and bring them to everyone. We have a basic theory that everyone should be involved in the arts, whether they are in any segment of the society. And so working with Habitat for Humanity, we know the homeowners there are struggling in some ways just to get a house. And so with our program, we're trying to help them make that house into a home by creating individual pieces that they can then use to decorate or use in their home, such as hand-painted placemats for the family. With those placemats, they then gather around their dinner table every evening, and they can talk about the project that they did together in the workshop, as well as have a great dinner together.
It's one of those things, you reconnect with it every time you have a meal. It puts a smile on your face.
Exactly. And for that particular workshop that we've done already with the Habitat homeowners, that's what they did. They would bring their kids in, their teenagers. They sat down. They each drew out something they wanted to paint. And then they got to take it home and use it. That's just one of 10 programs that we've already accomplished with the Habitat program. And now with Power to Give, we're going to be able to hopefully raise more funds to continue the program and bring more homeowners into the classrooms.
My thanks to the Arts Council of Winston-Salem and Forsyth County Chief Operating Officer Richard Emmett, United Arts Council of Greater Greensboro President and CEO Tom Fillion, North Carolina Shakespeare Festival and Festival Stage of Winston-Salem Executive Director Will Elder, and Piedmont Craftsman's Jane Dabb. Power to Give allows you to support the Triad art scene in new and highly targeted ways that are increasingly important to arts organizations as they work to maintain the high quality that we've come to expect. So give to the arts often, give where your passion lies, and it's just one mouse click away. PowerToGive.org. Pick the Triad city you'd like to support, and away you go. You'll find links on our website, wfdd.org/triadarts. This is Triad Arts Up Close. I'm David Ford. Coming up on the second half of the show, we'll share a musical moment with pianist Peter Karoff. Today, we'll break out our white powdered wigs and hop on the piano bench with the great man himself, Johann Sebastian Bach. And what made him so great anyhow? We'll find out just about 5 minutes from now, but first, let's kick back with a good laugh with no-nonsense comedians Pat McLeod and Eric Trundy.
First off, I'm the number one fan you guys ever want to have in a comedy club because I will laugh at just about anything because I respect what it takes to get in front of a room full of people and make them laugh. I mean, hats off.
I always tell people there's nothing noble about people who get up on stage. Like, it looks like it. Like, we're doing the world some service, but we all just want that attention, really, at the end of the day.
I mean, selfish, needy children.
Selfish, needy children. Look at me, look at me.
Why are you rewarding us for this? That's
it feels like I benefit more than the audience does, you know what I mean? Because I need that attention and love that I've never had in my life, you know what I mean? So
that's
I
wonderful.
Want it for a minute.
I want to give you a big hug after this.
I don't want to touch him.
Yes. I'll take it.
He's got so many diseases.
I understand. Yeah. We'll wash it down when we're done here.
There you go.
Pat, some of your shtick comes from family life. I've got a 7-year-old at home. Well, how old are your kids?
One of them just turned 3, and the other one is 4.5.
Okay, so you're in a different world than I am right now, but it's a fun one.
I'll be there eventually, yeah.
Never a dull moment.
Yeah, this world has its own fun. for example, and they're girls, too.
Okay.
And it's hard to raise a girl in 2012. Just the other day, I was making some cookies in the kitchen.
Yeah,
Chocolate chip cookies for the girls.
Love them.
And my 4-year-old walks in, and I was like, hey, have a cookie. And she said, no, I probably shouldn't eat these because I'll get fat and boys won't like me.
Oh, my God.
At 4. And I had to actually tell her, no, honey, there are a lot of good, smart, wonderful boys out there with a fat fetish. And they have conventions every year, so you'll be fine. She doesn't think the way I want her to think. For example, the other day she left one of her puzzles in the yard, and I was mowing the lawn, and I mowed over it. And to hear her tell it, I destroyed her puzzle. But I think I made it a better puzzle.
My thanks to comedians Pat McLeod and Eric Trundy. They're the co-creators of No Nonsense Comedy at the Idiot Box in Greensboro. The showcase for local talent has performances every Friday at 8, and you'll find open mic nights at the Idiot Box on Tuesday nights. There are links to more laughs at wfdd.org/triadarts. Stay tuned. Musical moments with Peter Karoff are coming up. We'll be Bach, you'll be Beethoven, next when Triad Arts Up Close continues. Welcome back to Triad Arts Up Close. I'm David Ford, and I'm excited to introduce you now to one of my favorite musicians. He's not only an outstanding pianist and harpsichordist who's performed all over the world, he's also a fantastic music teacher and a really nice guy with an uncanny knack for breaking down even the tough stuff into nice little musical moments that everyone can enjoy. He's Wake Forest University Professor of Music, Peter Karoff. So sit back and enjoy the first in our series of musical moments with Peter Karoff.
Hello and welcome. Today we're going to be talking about really one of the greatest composers in all of music history, Johann Sebastian Bach. Some people think of Bach's music as potentially a little cold, a little mathematical, but I'm here to tell you otherwise. His music ranges in expressive content between the very serene to the sort of angry to rather dark and forlorn. In short, his music spans the range of human experience. But there's one particular aspect of Bach's music I want to talk about today, and that is a certain technique that he uses almost all the time. It's one of his favorite techniques, and that is the ability he had to combine multiple melodies together at the same time. We call that counterpoint. Here's what happens. He'll take a melody, and keep going with that melody and maybe take the same melody a little bit higher and add something to it. And sometimes he'll add two and three and four melodies at the same time. This is called counterpoint, and it's a particular kind of counterpoint we call imitative polyphony. And what that means is that each melody imitates each other. Here's the one melody imitated by, and so on. What I'd love to do is kind of take you into Bach's workshop right now and show you how this process works. Okay, let's say you're Bach and you're sitting down at the harpsichord. It's about 1720, and you start your workday by coming up with a melody like this one. Terrific tune. It's a little dancey melody. It's actually written in the style of an Irish jig. Well, some composers would be very happy with that, put a few chords underneath it, and so on, and that would be your piece. But Bach doesn't work that way. Here's what he does. He takes his melody, and then gives it to the left hand down here. And those two melodies, the first one keeps going, the second one comes in here. And then he keeps going yet again, and he gives another melody, this time to your third hand, I suppose. That's what makes this music so miraculous. It's beautiful, it's fun to listen to, but it's astonishing when you look at the way it's put together. I'm just going to take those last few seconds I just played and just kind of peel some of the layers back. Here's the bottom melody. Here's melody number two on top of that. Beautiful. But then melody number three on top of those two. And the magic really happens. Well, Bach, being Bach, isn't content to just play even that complex of a game. What he'll do quite often is take these melodies now that we know very well, and he'll literally turn it upside down. In other words, instead of going the way we know it, down the scale, he takes virtually the same notes but turns it on its head, as if the music was just flipped on the music rack. So you see the way this turns into, and then the same process, that same melody upside down, down low. a third melody in the top. Kind of coalesce and end on the one note at the end. As you were listening, I bet you could tell, actually you probably couldn't, but it's in there. The upside down melody suddenly writes itself up and turns right side up, just like we knew from the beginning of the piece. So all these kind of musical techniques, games really, that Bach plays, would be just interesting and kind of cool if that's all they were. But what brings Bach's music into the realm of really the transcendent, and why we consider his music so great, and why we consider him perhaps one of the very greatest composers who've ever lived, is that all of these techniques, all of these ideas, all of these games that he plays are at the service of something greater. They're at the service of musical beauty. If the music weren't beautiful, we wouldn't care nearly so much about it.
Ah, musical moments with Wake Forest University Professor of Music, Peter Karoff. Isn't that guy incredible? You can join Peter each week as he kicks off the second half of Triad Arts Up Close every Friday at 1:30. I'm David Ford, and coming up just about 10 minutes from now, a conversation about composition of a very different sort. It's the awesome trio Red June and selections from their new CD, Beauty Will Come. I'll be chatting with guitarist-vocalist Will Strawn, but first, we're off to the Grand Ole Opry. But I mean old, old Opry, an oldie but goodie, right here in the Triad. The American Singers Opera Project, ASOP, kicked off on Tuesday, June 5th, with an art song benefit concert sung by my two guests today, Artistic Director, American Soprano Barbara Di Maio Caprilli, and Wake Forest University Associate Professor of Music, Lyric Tenor Richard Hurd. On Saturday, June 9th at 7:30 and Sunday afternoon at 3:30, it's opera arias performed in Brendel Recital Hall on the Wake campus by 22 talented ASOP singers from as far away as Canada. On June 14th through the 16th, opera lovers will enjoy ASOP's production of Verdi's Falstaff with full chamber orchestra and members of the Winston-Salem Symphony. On Tuesday's recital, the audience was treated to music by Respighi and other Italian masters sung by Barbara, and Richard delighted with unique selections by 20th century African-American composer Florence Price. Next week, he'll be releasing an entire CD of Price's music, including this song, Sunset.
Time to find a new life in that golden town.
Oh, these kids are in for such a treat, because they get a chance to hear these great voices. When you are so close to that, what does it do to you in terms of how you then project or sing? Just the immediacy of the contact that the students will get with you both.
Well, it makes my performance more exciting because they're watching, and I feel like I have a really huge responsibility to deliver my best performance for them.
I'm so glad you sent the Respighi, because the combination of the little dissonance and then the incredibly lyric and that first piece, it's very, very powerful. That's some wonderful singing to begin with. What a showpiece for your voice.
Well, one of my specialties, actually, is the Liriche del 1900, as we say, the music written between the two world wars in Italy.
Mm.
Respighi is perhaps the best known of those, but also I have some pieces on the recital by his wife, Elsa San Giacomo, and I also have pieces by Giulia Reckli, who was a student of Pizzetti, and these pieces, the Giulia Reckli pieces, aren't published in America.
How about that?
So lots of cool stuff on the recital.
Well, Florence, this is a tribute to the ladies, then, with Florence and then the wife of Otorino.
Yes.
That's really interesting.
We believe in supporting the music of minorities.
Good for you. Aria evenings this year.
The participants will work in a master class with either me or Richard before the recital, and they'll work on the arias they're going to sing. They all have an assigned accompanist this year, so a personal coach with whom they'll be working as well.
I imagine when you're selecting operas, what considerations come into mind?
One of the things we consider is an opera that uses more than three people, of course. We like to have a minimum of six. Also, we don't like to have operas that are just a big solo sing. We want to have operas that are collaborative because that's a better situation for young singers learning to do roles. Another thing that we like to do is we like to stay with operas that are singable by younger folk because our opera workshop appeals mostly to undergraduates. We do have some older students, but our target audience is really undergraduates. And next year, we're hoping to move the workshop a little bit later so we can include more high school students as well.
I'm gonna walk and talk with the angels. I'm gonna walk and talk with the angels.
My thanks to American Singers Opera Project Artistic Director, American Soprano Barbara DiMaio Caprilli, and Wake Forest University Associate Professor of Music, Lyric Tenor Richard Hurd. AESOP 2012 will run through June 16th on the Wake Forest University campus. You'll find links to the complete performance calendar on our website, wfdd.org/triadarts. This is Triad Arts Up Close. I'm David Ford. Now it's time to get in touch with our Carolina roots. The University of North Carolina School of the Arts and the Kenan Institute for the Arts have teamed up to create a new summer program that celebrates the music of the American South. Music Academy of the American South on the UNCSA campus and Old Salem Museums and Gardens will feature dynamic performances and workshops by a slew of noted international, national, and regional artists from Friday, June 8th through Sunday, June 10th. Headlining the artists participating in this inaugural year are the Del McCoury Band, Jim Lauderdale, Preservation Hall Jazz Band, and Tony Rice. Last week, UNCSA Chancellor John Mauchery dropped by WFDD to share the vision behind the Music Academy of the American South.
I think the question of what we teach is always something that's important, especially as a chancellor. But also, having conducted at the Grammys a couple of years ago and listened to a lot of music, none of which we teach, for a billion, I think it was with a B, watching that. And then also, the other side of it is, as someone who has performed in a lot of European countries, I thought about the Academy in Leipzig and in Berlin and in Vienna and how they actually teach the music that's the indigenous music of their part of the world uniquely. And the two things kind of came together, and I thought, well, wait a minute. We North Carolinians do not teach the music that was created in our great state. And I think that the state of North Carolina has missed an opportunity so far to actually trademark its musical heritage as being unique. When we think about indigenous American music and people talk about jazz and blues and mountain music, you know, their minds might go to New Orleans because New Orleans done a really good job at telling everybody that jazz was invented in New Orleans. And when it comes to the mountain music, it's just those mountains. And, you know, a lot of states have those mountains running through it. And the secret here, the kind of glue that put this all together had to do with the Moravians and the fact that they came to what we call now Old Salem. And I just had this feeling that we needed to create something at the School of the Arts, because we are the conservatory for the state, that would be responsible to the very legacy of the state in which we live. And that was music we didn't actually per se teach. And in addition, the fact that this is music that's some of the most popular music in the world didn't escape me. And therefore, digging our roots deeper into the soil and saying, you know, yes, we absolutely want to be the best classical music conservatory we can be. And that frequently means looking to Europe for a lot of our models. But on the other hand, it's the 21st century, and we can find a way to do it all. And here's the thing. It was because of the Moravians, really, that we have classical music in this country to begin with. So it's not such a far-fetched thing. You know, we just had a Magnolia Baroque Festival. You could actually subsume Magnolia Baroque into Music Academy of the American South, because it was, in fact, the Moravians who not only brought the music from Europe with them, but they made it part of their community. That's how they celebrated. It's how they shared their interpretation of the Bible and how people should behave. So in an extraordinary way, we have, you know, the responsibility to teach this music and to show the interconnectedness and how North Carolina was really the center of what a lot of people call American music.
University of North Carolina School of the Arts Chancellor John Maucheri. The Music Academy of the American South will feature dynamic performances and workshops by a slew of noted international, national, and regional artists from Friday, June 8th through Sunday, June 10th. You'll find links to more information at wfdd.org/triadarts. This is Triad Arts Up Close. I'm David Ford. Last night, in Rinalda House Museum of American Art's beautiful backyard, the hot Asheville band Red June put on quite a CD release concert and shindig with beer tasting, barbecue, and some great live music. Rinalda House was expecting about 100 folks. Nearly 500 showed up, and everyone, by the looks of them, had a grand old time. If you missed it, fret not, because first off, Red June will be playing in Hickory tonight at the Unitarian Universalist Church of Catawba Valley starting at 7:30. And second, you'll get a sneak preview of the band and their original music next, right here on Triad Arts Up Close. Red June is guitarist, vocalist John Cloyd, fiddler and vocalist Natalia Weinstein, and my guest, guitarist, vocalist, and Winston-Salem native Will Strawn. He spoke with me by phone from his home in Asheville. Here's some of our conversation. You know, typically I ask for a little background information from folks, and I, especially with musicians, I don't know why I get kind of one word answers. And you, I've got this flowing prose, this nice little missive here. Are you a big reader by chance, or did you have a writing background?
I do. I do like to read a lot. I'm reading a Doctorow book right now that I didn't think I would like because I didn't like one of the other ones.
You're reading some Doctorow right now?
Yeah, I'm reading. My brother-in-law and my sister are both. We're all English majors in the family, and so he always has this little library of books. They live in Nashville, and they teach at the university school, which is a really neat little private school there. And he's always got some great books, and so instead of me going and buying them, and if he recommends them, they're usually pretty good and have a good, you know, just, like, they're readable, but also have the literary kind of. It quenched the brain hunger as well.
Yeah, I want to get to the music and the CD that you all sent, Beauty Will Come. One of the things that struck me most, and it is rare for me, I'm a melody guy. Lyrics tend to be, that's not at the forefront of my mind. The lyrics for just about every tune here jump out at me, and I'm really riveted by the story. Maybe you could get me up to speed on the story behind Soul's Repair.
I will, and it's a nice one. I'm also very much a melody writer myself, and so the melodies come to me, and then it's just like, what in the world am I going to do with this? Because I know that it deserves words, or that there's words that are out there, but I don't want to compromise the melody with bad words or something that doesn't sing the right way. John and I always talk about, you know, the words are great, but do they sing well? Can you feel it?
Coming from the English major, I can understand your concern over the content.
Yeah, and the content is important. And, you know, I'm sure you've read, or, you know, people have read, like, William Butler Yeats. And, you know, there's really the sound of words, I think, are, that's what I hear when I pay attention. And I think that's why I hear melody. I hear sort of the tone of somebody's voice, all the weight and stuff that's in the actual mood of what they're saying, almost more than I do content sometimes, which, you know, for an English major is probably not the best thing to say. But anyway, with Soul's Repair, I actually was living in Minnesota as the song kind of, there's a line in there that there's nothing like a Midwest winter for a soul's repair. And I had moved up there to a couple of years ago to, let's just say, kind of straighten my life out a little bit. And I was up there for almost a year. I was up there for 11 months.
Wow.
And I had this melody, and it kind of reminded me of something that, like, the band would have written, or that I could hear Lee Von Helm singing, if I can be so indulgent. God rest his soul. And I was also listening to some Randy Newman, who's a great writer, and I like his music too. And so I had this melody for a while, and I kept going out to my front porch every morning in Minnesota, which is chilly in the wintertime. And the sun comes up a little south in the wintertime, and that's why it gets cold. And it made me kind of think about, you know, missing being back home, but also getting the most of the time that I was in Minnesota. And so, you know, the next verse has a line from, I was reading Look Homeward Angel, Thomas Wolfe, at the time, and it's about a fictional city in Asheville, because he's from Asheville, and I was in Minnesota, and there's a line that one of the characters in Look Homeward Angel uses that is something along the lines of, you know, you look east for Home and you look west for Desire. And that struck me. I was living in the Twin Cities, which they sort of call the, you know, Minneapolis is sort of the west and St. Paul is the east, and the Mississippi River divides them. And I thought, that sounds cool. The man says the east is for Home and west is for Desire. I'm a little older, but the good Lord keeps throwing wood on the fire. And I was, that was sort of a line that indicated to me that I still wanted to very much play music, because I had not been playing music during this sort of little sabbatical I was on. And I was sitting there right, you know, on the Mississippi River, kind of contemplating what to do with the rest of my life. So that's really kind of what that song is about.
So many points of connection there. You know, my mom lived in Minneapolis for 15 years, and I grew up in La Crosse, Wisconsin, just across the river there, so I'm well familiar with those cold winters. And you know, listening to this tune, now that it's coming back to me, there are those moments of just bleakness. Did you see Fargo? You know, those cold open fields, and you know, there are moments in that movie where you just go, oh, yeah, that's when I was waiting for the bus, and it was 20 below
exactly.
Out there. It really gets you in touch with who you are as a person, though, those sorts of conditions in that neck of the woods for some reason.
Yeah, and, you know, that's how the people are out there. And I think even there's probably a line in the song that, you know, St. Paul has all these great old store signs, because a lot of the businesses that have been around for a long time, and I think that was like one of the lines of the song is I like the old store signs and the people are fair. And it really, I think the people are really down to earth there in the Midwest, and particularly in Minnesota. It was a wonderful place to get my bearings.
The sun comes up a little south in the wintertime. Must be a heavy load yonder for the long, hard climb. I like the old store signs, and the people are fair. There's nothing like a Midwest winter for a soul's repair. 'Cause I've been waiting for so long, and I know exactly what I'm doing. Now that the wind's died down, the rain makes it all clear. I'm in need of some relief. I'm in need of some relief. I'm in need of some relief. Said east is for home, west for desire. I'm a little older, but the good Lord keeps throwing wood on the fire. Well, that's okay, I guess. I've been here before. Right in the middle of a great big river, rowing the boat. 'Cause I've been waiting for so long, I know exactly what I'm doing here. Now that the wind's died down and the rain makes it all clear, I'm in need of some relief. I'm in need of some relief. I'm in need of some.
Without talking about the late, great Doc Watson, and especially after his recent passing, and just curious to get your sense as a picker, what this man has meant to you over the years.
I tell you, when some people pass away who are, for lack of a better term, famous or well-known, but especially if they've had a big impact, you know, sometimes you sort of say, okay, it was time, and you move on. But there's been particular sadness personally for me. Just the world feels different without Doc already, and I know that if you just look on Facebook and see all the posts about Doc Watson and all the articles and interviews and you meant so much to roots music, bluegrass, old time, and to, you know, the state of North Carolina. I'm very proud to be from North Carolina. Doc Watson brought, I've been trying to think about this, what made him special to me, and I started listening to him in high school, and I loved his singing style and the honesty that he brought to the stage. And one of the things I was thinking, and of course his guitar playing and the people that love to play with him, but what I think makes Doc special, as well as a lot of people like Mississippi John Hurt and Elizabeth Cotton, they are these people that brought this traditional music kind of from their living room, or to be a little bit cliche, kind of from the front porch to the stage without making it hokey. They just brought with it all its honesty and a huge generosity to the crowd to get up there and make people feel welcome and play this beautiful music that had so much emotion. And so somebody who seemed to do it for the right reasons. And that, I think, is what you know, the musicians that I love do it. They do it because they almost because they have to, or because and they share it with a real passion. So he will be missed, but how grateful are we all that we have something so special to miss? And his presence will never disappear. And it's already fun to be celebrating his life. And I talk to people who don't even write songs, and myself included, and I do write songs, and you can hear them. My sister called the other day, and she said, I'm not even a songwriter, but it makes me want to write a song just because the inspiration that Doc had on so many people.
My thanks to Will Strawn. He, along with John Cloyd and Natalia Weinstein, make up the Asheville band Red June. We've been sampling from their new CD, Beauty Will Come, throughout the show today. And you'll find links to the album and more on our website, wfdd.org/triadarts. You can hear the band live in concert in Hickory tonight at the Unitarian Universalist Church of Catawba Valley, starting at 7:30. And on Saturday, they'll be in Blowing Rock. You'll find links to Red June's complete performance calendar on our website as well. Again, it's wfdd.org/triadarts. And that's all for today's program. I sure hope you enjoyed it, and I look forward to hearing from you. Were you at the Red June concert last night? What'd you think? Are you making plans to attend any Music Academy of the American South events this weekend? Let us know how it went. Be sure and share with us on Facebook. And how about that Peter Kairoff? We'd love to hear from you. Send your questions, comments, and suggestions to triadarts@wfu.edu. I'm David Ford. Have a great weekend, and thanks for joining me today for Triad Arts Up Close.